I'm concluding my Lenten homily series, which is entitled Conqueror, Being Overcomers with Christ. On Easter Sunday, we will renew our baptismal promises, renouncing the invitation to sin and renewing our allegiance to believe in God, revealed as one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and following him as a member of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. When we're renewing our baptismal vows, we are reaffirming the inheritance that our God has given to us. The eternal Son of God has come to share in our humanity in all things but sin, to heal humanity of the wounds of sin, division, and death. And that not only has an impact for our eternity, but how we live here and now. For how we live here will impact our eternity. And so, during these Sundays of Lent, I've used the gospel reading to help us to reflect on ways in which we experience this victory here and now. The first Sunday of Lent, we reflected on overcoming temptation to sin. Then, overcoming fear of failing as a Christian disciple was the topic of the second Sunday of Lent. On the third Sunday, overcoming a painful past as Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. And then last Sunday, the subject was overcoming opposition to our faith in Christ, as we saw a man who had been healed of blindness profess his belief in the Lord, even though he encountered various responses. And now the concluding subject is overcoming death with Christ. We believe in the gift of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. However, this will not spare us from dealing with grief. Our grief may increase during anniversaries, birthdays, holidays, and holy days because we miss our departed loved ones. Yesterday was the 39th anniversary of my father's death at Liberty Medical Center. It was raining yesterday, which reminded me of that day in 1984, in which it was raining all day. It was a Sunday. The 25th fell on a Sunday that year. Certainly how I experienced grief in 1984 is different from how I experience it this year. Nevertheless, there is grieving, and we share the pain with God and invite God to give us hope and healing. And this is what is happening in today's gospel reading, when we see the sisters Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha were disciples of the Lord. They were also close friends with him, along with their brother Lazarus. And they had asked Jesus to heal Lazarus because he was critically ill. But Lazarus had died, and Jesus arrived 4 days afterward, which was just in time for him to hear the anguished cries of Martha and Mary. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Their anguish reflects the common human struggle to make sense of life in the face of death. For some, it breaks their faith in God. But while Mary and Martha were searching for the presence of God in their pain, it is significant that they were not abandoning their faith in Jesus. They referred to Jesus as the Lord, and they believed that the character of the Lord does not change in any circumstance. Therefore, they continued to trust how the Lord would act in the circumstance they were now facing, even though it was not what they had in mind at first. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. God is not the source of death. He is the source of life. And death came into the world when the first human beings chose to break communion with God, the source of life. The choice to sin expresses, for that moment at least, a lack of complete trust that how God wants us to live is truly a loving way of acting, a proper use of our freedom, and will make us content. Conversion is a process in which divine grace, the very life and love of God at work within us, strengthens our trust in God's faithful love. God does not abandon us to sin and death, and God does not abandon us in any circumstance, but we have to have the patience to cooperate with God. Death tried to intimidate Jesus from doing the will of his Father. Yet Jesus refused to compromise his identity and mission. He resisted the fear of death by taking on the consequences of our disobedience. Jesus robbed death of its power as a consequence of his obedience. Instead of living with fear that death can come at any moment, and it can, Jesus invites us to trust that our lives transcend the boundaries of time now. The end of our lives on earth will come at an unknown hour, but God invites us to use the hours that we have now to share our life and love with him. We rejoice that death cannot change what God has prepared for us as long as we are prepared to receive it from God. We will engage in this life with confidence, refusing to be paralyzed by the prospect of death, because we trust that we are overcomers with Christ now. Death has been transformed from a termination to a transition point. We will strive to live according to God's commandments. They are truly life-giving, even if we do not perceive its benefits at first. Jesus tells Martha that he is the resurrection and the life, and that everyone who lives and believes in him will never die. When Jesus approached the boundaries of Bethany and Mary met him, he did not explain to Martha why he came 4 days after Lazarus had died. He just professed who he is and what he has come to do in the world, and then extends the invitation to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Lazarus was still in the grave when Jesus gave this invitation, and her sister Mary was too grief-stricken at the time to see Jesus. And there were fellow Jews in the crowd who were skeptical and critical of Jesus. But Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who is coming into the world." This underscores my point that faith cannot be relied upon as an emotional experience. Certainly, we want to be uplifted by our trust in God, but faith is first an act of the will an act of the will to trust God. Martha was grieving. Martha was in pain. Martha was not feeling good. But she still had faith and by the act of the will said, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, and no circumstance will shake my conviction about who you are and what you are doing in my life." The Christian life is not defined primarily by saying no to something. It is defined first by what we want to do because God wants it for us. It is a joyful response to God's love. Yes, Martha was joyful, even as she grieved, because she had confidence in God. And so, following her example, as we carry our cross with Christ, we know it will lead to wearing the crown of eternal life with him. Through his life on earth, death on the cross, resurrection from the dead, and ascension into heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ shows us that our lives matter to God at each moment. And the celebration of this Holy Mass, the offering of the body and blood of Jesus for our salvation from sin and death, reminds us about that. And that is why I've reminded ourselves that the time of communion is a time to focus on thanksgiving rather than how many more minutes do we have to worship God during Holy Mass. We can never thank God enough for the gift to be able to overcome anything that seeks to destroy us, to defeat us. We can never thank God enough for never abandoning us in any circumstance, even when it's hard to detect how God is present. God is there, even at the moment of death. For the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit who resides in us. That is what St. Paul reminded us in the second reading today. Placing our faith in the Lord and practicing that faith means that we are already overcoming death with Christ. For even at the moment of death, God has made a commitment to love us that will never be taken away.